They're just doing it to spite me. They're trying to steal my thunder. They hate to see me center stage. They can't bear to see me happy with Roland. That's why they're behaving so appallingly badly. Father's obsessed with that ghastly old crone, Mrs. Sunderland, with her dowager's hump and her teeth like gypsy's clothes pegs. Every day, she sends round her bottle-green Lanchester with the black mudguard things to collect him, and he comes home in the evening chuckling and rubbing his hands together like a decrepit old squirrel. And that blokey Rosie... That young man Rosie met at the regatta party has started coming round with his ghastly portable telephone and his hideous suntan and his loathsome deep-sea diver's wristwatch. And she's smiling all the time and laughing and singing to herself. But she's not serious. She can't be. She's only doing it to spite me. And as for Winston... Well, Winston's taken up with that disgusting woman from the fishmongers with the mottled legs and the badongas like... The breasts like... Well, she shouldn't be let out unattended with breasts like them. And he smiles like the inside of a Grimsby trawler. And he's walking around the house covered in fish scales. But he can't be serious. He's only doing it to... Is he serious? Can he really be serious? I will not stand for it. I will not tolerate it. I will not be put down in my own home. I will not play second fiddle. Oh, William, what a mess!
Yes. I just don't know how they expected to cope with it.
What?
Well, everyone's got a chub except me. I'm all alone. You're all deserting me. No one wants me. Good grief, I've even been kicked off the social committee of the International Guild of Railway Writers. Bang goes my free trip to the marshalling yards at Interlaken. I'm so wretched, Nancy. I'm so miserable.
You're miserable? What about me?
Well, what about you? You're fine. You're laughing. You've got Roland, haven't you?
Yes, well... The thing is, William, and I don't want this to go beyond these four walls, but the thing is, I'm getting rather worried about my status with Roland.
Why?
Well... The thing is, William, last Tuesday, I went round to Roland's for...
Morning, boss. What do you reckon, then? Not a lot. Anyone care for a nice, juicy fillet of smoked haddock as Nick personal boy my own fair hands this very morning?
Out. Get out.
All right, missus, keep your wool on. If you should perchance require me or need my services, you will find me in the back garden reading the Everyman edition of The Complete Angler, as wrote in the original by Isaac Walton, 1593 to 1683. I bid you good day.
Go on, then.
Go on with what?
Your story about visiting Roland.
Ah, yes. Well, last Tuesday, I went round to Roland's for something...
I say what, old chap? How am I feeling today? Well, in the pink.
Thank you, most fearful of asking. Never felt better. Someone been gutting halibut around here.
What do you want, Father?
Oh, you're a great import, old boy. I just thought I'd tell you we're going to Bournemouth today with Mrs. Sunderland. I think she wants to frighten the seagulls.
Poor things.
Yes, fearfully ugly old party, Mrs. Sunderland, isn't she? I keep thinking of her with no togs on.
Father!
Oh, good God, it'd be like going to bed with a British Rail toast rack. Still... Beggars can't be choosers when you get to my age. Any old port in a storm, eh? I must say this room smells remarkably like the fish dock at Pondicherry when your mother was alive. My God, how I hate Bismarck herrings. Don't let me interrupt your little chinwag. I'm off to the front door to wait for Mrs. Sunderland's car, her motor. A frightfully interesting Waller, her chauffeur. Apparently he's been in jug for forging book tokens and bestiality with an umbrella stand. All in a day's work for a chauffeur, I suppose. Well, tour a bit. Don't mind me. I'm only a father.
Well, go on then, Nancy. You went round to have supper with Roland and...
Has anyone seen my sunglasses?
What?
My sunglasses. Has anyone seen them? They're a present from Lance. He brought them back from Trinidad. He'll go bananas if I've lost them.
Who's Lance?
My gentleman friend, William.
Oh, yes. Isn't he the one with the cocky bottom? Isn't he the one with the Davy Crockett hairpiece on his chest?
I won't rise to it, William. I won't take the bait. Bye, everyone. Have loads of fun, won't you?
And when I went round there, I met his daughters for the first time.
Whose daughters?
For pity's sake, William Rowland's daughters.
Oh, right, there's no need to shout.
Sorry.
I hate being shouted at.
I know, and I'm sorry.
I'm always being shouted at.
I know you are, and I'm sorry. Well, then, when I went round to supper, I met his daughters. I was terribly nervous. I was like a little schoolgirl going up to the platform at speech day for second prize in natural history. Anyway, at first they were very nice. Sophie, she's the elder one and she's studying drama and histrionics at Reading University. Well, she put me at ease straight away by asking me if I liked Ibsen. And I said, isn't he that Norwegian chappie with the rimless spectacles? And she sort of smiled, very sweetly, I thought. But I couldn't help noticing her feet. They were enormous. I couldn't take my eyes off them. And when her sister, Juliet, came in from riding, she's still at a fee-paying grammar school and positively festooned with A-levels. Well, she came in and she's got the most enormous nose. I couldn't take my eyes off it. It was awful, William. I was transfixed by those feet and that nose. I got all confused. And when we talked over supper, I kept getting muddled up. I mixed up Pat Smythe with Janet Sussman, or whatever she calls herself. And they began to giggle. They began to sneer and whisper. And Roland got all tense and testy with them. And then, like a fool, I said something about Cyrano de Bergerac. And Juliet fled from the room in tears. And it was awful, William. It was ghastly. I know they don't like me. They hate me. They despise me. And it's Friday now, and I haven't heard a word since from Roland and... William? William, you're not listening to me, are you?
Yes, I am. I'm just thinking, that's all.
What are you thinking about?
Sophie.
What?
Do you think she'd like me, Nancy? I've always got on marvellously well with women with big feet.
You pig! You unutterable bastard! I'm going to my bedroom to read some Jane Austen, 1775-222. Oh, who knows when she died? Why didn't you ask Sophie, you rotter?
I'm so lonely. Do you know that bookcase? I'm really, really lonely. I've lost all interest in my book about the steam locomotives of the Balkans. I was really looking forward to being Van Driver's mate in Winston's Enterprise, but now it's all fallen through. I couldn't care less. Don't know why I bothered in the first place. I need a chum, bookcase. Oh, you've always been a good chum to me. I won't deny that. All my life you've devoted yourself to my welfare. You've never failed to cheer me up when I've been down in the dumps and... I like ladies with big noses, too. Arcala used to have a big nose when I was in the Cubs. She had big feet, too, come to that. She used to ride a gent's racing bike with dropped handlebars. And I fell in love with her the day the assistant district commissioner ticked her off for forgetting to lock the toilet door when she went to do number ones. I fell head over heels with her bookcase... And there hasn't been another woman since. Poor old me. I'm so very, very lonely.
William.
Rosie. I didn't hear you come in.
I know. You were too busy talking to yourself.
Yes.
You haven't talked to yourself since you came back from scout camp at Capel Curig with food poisoning.
I know.
And so why start now?
I'm fed up.
So am I.
I see. Can't find your sunglasses, is it?
No.
What then?
I'm feeling lonely.
Lonely? Why? You've got that last ogling you from head to foot. He's never off the doorstep.
That's why I'm so lonely.
I don't understand.
Neither do I.
Oh, Lord. I suppose we'd better go and talk to Winston about it. He's the only one who can make any sense out of matters like this.
That's just what I was thinking. Shall we go and find him?
We don't need to. We just follow the smell.
Oh. Hello there, you two. What do you reckon, then? Not a lot.
Pooh! Winston, you don't half niff.
Niff? Niff, did you say? That old factory emanation, Rosie, my old wheezy fashion, is a pong off the great vast ocean depths. It is the salt tank sent to the Dogger Bank. Look, it is... The redolent odours of gull-yapping Nordic skerries where the trawlers bob beneath skies of deepest azure and the sea-eagles hover about the waves on wing-tip threads sort of thing. And besides, I've got half a dozen salmon heads wrapped in my underpants. Well, then, what can I wish to do for you?
We're lonely.
Loneliness, is it, William? I wandered lonely as a bleeding cloud, William Wordsworth, 1770 to 1850.
I don't care about William Wordsworth, Winston. All I care about is me. I haven't got any chums. I'm all alone. Even the bookcase doesn't want to know me. It spurned me, turned its back on me. I'm lonely, and I want a chum.
You selfish swine.
What?
All you think about is yourself. You're obsessed with yourself. All your miserable, pathetic little problems, your sinuses, your blotches, your allergies, you make me sick. It's no wonder no one wants to be your chum.
Exactly, Rosie. Precisely. Why don't you bugger off, William, and see if the Mangle's looking for a spot of company.
Thank you, Winston. Thank you both very much. I know when I'm not wanted. I always have done. That's why I'm so miserably, wretchedly lonely. I'll go. I'll leave you two alone. Oh, and for your information, I tried the Mangle yesterday and it didn't want to know. I think I'll have a bash at the pilot light on the central heating.
Oh, he's gone. Poor William.
Never mind poor William. What about you, Rosie? Why are you so fed up, my beautiful, darling, lustrous girl?
It's Lance.
Lance?
Yes. He wants me to go and live with him.
Randy, old sod.
Well, it's not like that.
Oh, I see. He wants you to catalogue all his old golf magazines, do he? Wants you to put a new manifold head on his BMW and breathe new life into his shower attachment. Come on, Rosie. Tell old Winston all about it.
I'm frightened.
Why?
He says he loves me.
He's a dangerous old critter, his love, Rosie.
I know. That's why I'm so frightened. I can't bear the responsibility of being loved, Winston. It's too much. It saps away your independence. It smothers your freedom.
Don't do much good neither. See a bit of fluff on the side, Rosie.
Why are people so self-righteous and smug about being in love? What's so special about love? I can't stand it when people do things for you out of love. When they think about you and care for you and ring you up when you're down in the dumps. When they come up to you for no reason at all and give you a cuddle or squeeze your hand on the train or remember your favourite perfume. It's such a terrible responsibility having to cope with all of that.
Has you ever thought of getting yourself an old dog, Rosie, an old mongrel? If he shows you love, you can always throw a bucket of cold water over him or bung him in the kennel. Give him a good kick in the ribs and tell him to behave himself or you'll have him put down.
Well, Lance always behaves himself, Winston. Surprisingly enough, he's a model of propriety. He's a nice man. I like him. He's fun. He's thoughtful. He's generous. He's very loving. But I can't help thinking to myself, if he were killed in a car crash or a plane accident, would I feel grief? Would I feel such sorrow I wouldn't want to go on living myself?
And what's the answer to that, Rosie?
Nothing. There's just a great nothingness there. And it's for everyone. For every single person in the world.
I see. Well, in that case, Rosie, there's only one answer for it, isn't there?
And what's that, Winston?
Marry me!
What?
Marry me, Rosie. Well, if I can't have Nancy as a conjugal partner sort of thing, I might as well lumber myself with you, mightn't I? Same difference. It won't alter me one way or the other. Look, I still avail myself of Betty Abels and her proclivities down the back of the ambulance station. I still go out for sessions at the booze of the public and come back all stonked up and bloodshot and fit for nothing but a good fart and a chicken dance sack. I'll still be all fat and airy and selfish and inconsiderate and shamelessly febrile in the presence of a plump, juicy fillet of smoked haddock. Of course I will, Rosie. And as an added incentive, a bonus sort of thing, I shall guide you, step by step, through the philosophical works of the philosopher John Locke, whose precise dates escape me for the moment, though I do know he kicked the bucket through filling his crust with too many theories of a tendentious nature. Look, well then, Rosie, what do you say?
It sounds a very attractive proposition, Winston.
Do it, Rosie, do it!
It most certainly does. And there's another thing, too.
And what's that, Rosie?
You're sitting on my bloody sunglasses, you prize Burke.
Not a word from Roland. Not a phone call. I've been in my bedroom all morning and there hasn't been a squeak from him. Oh, crikey. Why did I mix up Dorian Williams with Dorian Gray? Why did I think that picture of Sir Peter Hall was a picture of Charlie Chan? The way they looked at me. Such scorn, such contempt. But I'd make them a good mother. I know I would. For a start off, I'd get Sophie out of those great galumphing flatties and put her into some decent, sensible patent leather court shoes. If she'd worn Kilty Startright when she was a child, she'd never... I could always ring his answering machine. Wait for the bleep. I haven't got the time to wait for his bleep. I'm getting old. I'm losing my bloom. They don't think so at Harrods, mind you. When I was in Harrods trying on that Jasper Conran two-piece that gave me goose pimples on the bum, the assistant said, "You look very nice, madam, it's just you," and I was very flattered, even though I knew she was lying through her teeth and couldn't wait to get off to lunch and stuff herself with that ghastly low-fat yogurt that smells of goat droppings and... Oh, Roland, give me a ring on the phone. Give me a tinkle, get in touch. Please, please, communicate with me. Who's that? Who's there?
It's me, missus. Oh, Winston.
What do you want?
I have come to give you a second chance.
What do you mean, a second chance?
Invite me in and I'll tell you.
Go away.
Right.
No. Don't go away. Come in.
Now then, missus, before you says anything, I knows and I am aware of the fact that I pong something chronic. I niffs. But, Nancy, but consider what a female of the species of the boiled adder would think if I was a gentleman boiled adder, all brimming with love and eager and willing to pay her court. She wouldn't turn up her nose. She
Winston!
Wouldn't. Yes, missus?
What is this second chance you're talking about?
It's about your marriage.
My marriage? What do you mean, my marriage? It's Roland. You've heard from Roland. He's been round here. Why didn't you let him in, you bastard? You did. You let him in and you insulted him. No, you didn't. It's even worse. You punched him in the throat and he's lying senseless on his back in the utility room. Good God, man, there was no need to take his trousers off. It's only a superficial wound. It's only...
Calm down, Nancy. Calm down. You're making your bedongers go all blotchy, love. Well, you're not complaining about that, mind. Far from it. If I was a gentleman boiled adder, I... Well, it is nothing to do with Roland.
Then who is it to do with?
Me.
You?
Yes, me. Oh, Winston, it's me what's given you the second chance. You've turned me down once, which I have took into account, though. And thus, on somber and sober reflection, and in full knowledge of my compass mentis sort of thing, I'm asking you once more to marry me.
What?
Marry me, Nancy. Be my wife, be my missus, look, my co-partner in nuptiality sort of thing. You say you will. And I rescind forthwith my previous offer to your sister.
What?
Don't keep saying what, Mrs. Compose yourself. Comport yourself proper. And conduct yourself in a seemly manner, concomitant with a woman of mature years, what have just been made a highly desirable offer of marriage of a permanent nature.
Right, Winston. I will compose myself. I will comport myself proper like a woman of mature years. And what I have to say is this. What on earth's that?
Sounds like old William to me. Sounds like he's in pain, if you ask me. I hope he ain't set his shirt tail afire on the pilot line.
For heaven's sake, what on earth is the matter with him?
Don't you worry, Nancy. I'll attend to it myself. A bucket of cold water and a swift punch in the utility room will soon sort out his ass for him. And whilst I'm gone, you can prepare your answer to my proposal, can't you?
There is nothing to prepare, Winston. My answer is short, sweet and simple, and it is this. William, how dare you come barging into my bedroom like this? Have you taken leave of your senses?
Sort of. Well, completely, as a matter of fact. I've had a letter in the second post. It's a fan letter from a lady.
A lady?
Yes. She lives in Doncaster.
Well, that doesn't sound very ladylike to me, William.
Oh, I don't care. I don't care a single jot. All that matters is that she's read all my books and she's a terrific admirer. and she's looking to meet me, and I've rung her up, and we're going to meet next Tuesday by the fire hydrant on Platform 4 at King's Cross, which is my very favourite of all mainline terminals, except for Liverpool Street. And look, she's even sent me her picture.
Very nice, William. Very tasty. See, now I've got a big hooter on her, though, ain't she?
Yes. Oh, blimey, Charlie, look at the size of them webs on her. With feet like that, you could build a pontoon bridge all the way from here to the Adduct Grounds off Dogger Bank.
I know, Winston, I know. Isn't she lovely, Nancy? Isn't she gorgeous? And just look at that signal gantry by her left shoulder. Isn't it beautiful? LNER at its very best. Oh, crikey. Oh, golly. I think I've fallen in love. I lay on my bed all afternoon, and I couldn't get him out of my mind. I could see him so clearly. I could hear him whimpering to me softly and slowly. I could feel the rasp of his breath on my neck. I could feel the touch of his hands on my breasts. And I called out his name. I called it out slow and soft. Winston, Winston, Winston. What's going on? What's happening to me? That night, much to our surprise, Father called a family conference. We convened at 6:30 in the drawing room.
I'm in love. I'm in love.
Oh, shut up.
Yeah, pipe down.
I'm in love. I'm in love.
Shut up!
Will you three stop this racket at once? Thank you. Now then, Father, the floor is all yours. Take your pipe out of your mouth, put down the fly swatter and proceed.
Certainly, old boy. You're a fearfully present chap's fly swatters, aren't they? The boffin who invented them must have had a damn keen mind, don't you think? On the ball, he must have been, had all his marbles intact.
Father?
Yes, old boy?
Get on with it. I'm waiting for a very important phone call and... I'm in love. I'm in love.
Shut up! Proceed, Father.
No, certainly, old boy. Only too happy to oblige. Well, everyone, I have an announcement to make. I have to tell you that this very day I received a proposal of marriage from Mrs. Sunderland.
What?
Yes, and I'm happy to inform you that I have accepted it with no strings attached. Except that I don't want to look at her while she's taking her togs off.
You what, Father? You're going to get married?
Yes, to Mrs. Sunderland. She's that exceedingly ugly old party with the wrinkled wrists and the perpetual dew drop on the lower nose. Why, she's not frightfully good on the old pins, I have to confess, but her earrings tip-top and she... Oh, don't laugh at me, chaps. Please don't laugh at me or mock.
We're not laughing at you, Father. We're not mocking you.
Well, she said she loved me. In the car, just outside Andover. We didn't get to Bournemouth. No, we stopped just outside Andover, and she proposed to me in the back seat when the chauffeur was out in the hedge obeying a call of nature, though I suspect he was tampering illegally with an ordnance survey benchmark. Yes, she said she loved me. Just like that.
And what did you say, Father?
I said, oh, that's fearfully pleasant of you, old horse. Yes, that's what I said.
What did she say? The old boiler with the dewdrop on the end of her conch.
I can't quite remember. No, don't laugh at me. Don't mock me.
I won't mock you, Father. I know precisely how you feel. I'm in love.
Well, then, everyone, what an unexpected piece of news. Jolly exciting, isn't it?
No, it's not exciting for me.
Why not, Father?
Well, nothing's exciting for me anymore, Rosie. I'm an old man, you see. I've seen it all. I've seen rats as big as border terriers in the Amazon jungles. I've seen slave girls in cartoon with sinuous thighs and dark, smouldering eyes. I've seen Ranges score a ton at Tunbridge Wells.
It's Canterbury. It was Canterbury, Father.
Oh, so it was, William, yes, so it was. It was a fearfully pleasant spot, Tunbridge Wells. There's no excitement there, not a hint of it, not a whisper, just long, 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 endless boredom. And that's why I've consented to marry Mrs. Sunderland. No hint of excitement on that score, chaps. Not a whisker of it. Just long, long, long endless boredom. It's fearfully comforting, don't you think? Fearfully conducive.
Oh, Father, what lovely news. We're very happy for you, aren't we, everyone? I said we're very happy, aren't we?
Yes, there's just one other thing, though.
And what's that, Father?
When Mrs. Sunderland and I return from our world cruise in respect of our honeymoon jaunt with our togs on, I'm going to have to turf you all out of the house.
What?
Well, you see, Rosie, I shall be moving in with Mrs. Sunderland at her villa in Antibes. Or is it Villefranche-sur-Mer? No matter wherever it is, I shall need the capital, you see.
What capital?
Oh, the capital from the proceeds of selling the house, Rosie. Well, Mrs. Sunderland's so exceedingly wealthy that I couldn't dream of forming a liaison with her without my own capital. It might make people talk.
It wouldn't make me talk. Listen, if you're worried about fogging the house, you can stay on here and I'll marry Mrs. Sunderland. I don't mind oiling her Zimmer for her and putting casters on her slipper.
Winston! Shut up!
Sorry, Nancy.
Father, there is one small item in the euphoria of your impending marriage and the selling of the house which I think perhaps you might have taken into account.
All wrong, Nancy, wrong. Oh, boy, I've taken everything into account. Oh, yes. I know full well that when I sell this house I shall be turfing you all out, lock, stock and barrel, and you'll be totally penniless. Totally penniless. Totally destitute. I say there's excitement for you. Fearfully stimulating. Fearfully conducive.
All I want is peace. All I want is calm. I want to be in love. Just me. I don't want anyone else in the house to be in love. I don't want anyone else in the world to be in love. Just me. Just me and... Hello? Roland, is that you? Is that... Well, who is it then? Who? No, I don't want another consignment of boiled haddock. Oh, love. What are you doing to me?